Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about the King of Tyre. We find this king described in Ezekiel chapters 26 through 28. Chapter 28 explains very plainly that Satan is the king of Tyre. As we read through these chapters, we also see that the city of Tyre is described as being both the physical ancient city of Tyre and also as a symbolic city, which is used to describe a particular facet of Satan's deceptive work in the world. This is what is called by Bible scholars a layered reference, in that it comes to pass physically and also at the same time represents that which is taking place in the spiritual realm in the battle between good and evil. Ezekiel is describing something that actually took place with the physical city of Tyre in a historical sense, and something that has been taking place in the world, will continue to take place in the world, and will come to an end at the last days of the world, in the same way that the ancient city of Tyre played out its period of history in the physical sense. This is the hidden layer of understanding, which is found underneath the surface layer. This hidden layer is comprehended by those who allow the Holy Spirit to work in them, relying on God to guide them into all truth, rather than just taking everything at face value in the physical sense. Taking Scripture at only face value in the physical sense is why so much understanding is lacking in today's church. If you listen to someone who describes all Bible prophecy in strictly physical terms, then you are listening to someone who is not using their spiritual eyes to see. It may not be that they are uncaring, but it may be that they don't understand the spiritual part of God and His guidance by the Holy Spirit. They may never have learned anything about listening to the still small voice and may have a great fear. This is understandable in a way because of the way people have gone to extremes with the Holy Spirit issues. But you yourself must have eyes to see and ears to hear, and these are not just the physical eyes and ears you were born with, but the eyes and ears God gave you when you were born again in the Spirit. When God causes His Word to come to pass in a physical situation, it helps people comprehend what is also prophesied to come to pass in the hidden spiritual sense. This is why the covenant of the law of commandments came before the covenant of the law of grace. Without the Old Testament law of commandments, the New Testament law of grace would never have been comprehended. In the same way, the description we have of the ancient city of Tyre helps us understand some of the end-time events which are affecting us today. As Ezekiel describes these events in chapters 26 through 28, it helps to give us understanding of who Satan is and how he carries out his diabolical work in the earth. We know, of course, that the ancient city of Tyre was a place situated on a piece of land which jutted out into the Mediterranean Sea, and that it was a place for the merchant ships to come from all parts of the earth and deposit their wares. The actual ancient city of Tyre was the chief seaport city of the merchants of earth, more so than any other city. We also know that it was eventually destroyed, just as was prophesied in Ezekiel. But as Ezekiel described the city and its king, we can also plainly see that he was describing Satan and the work which the devil does of tempting man with the delicacies of earth. Not all scriptures which have layered meanings are as clearly understood as these scriptures are. Many times people take the face value explanations of Scripture and assume that there is no other hidden meanings. But when we look beneath the surface and see the spiritual equivalent of the physical description, it helps us to understand other prophecy scriptures. So let's go back to some of the passages in these three chapters and see what God is telling us. Let's start in Ezekiel 28, verses 12 through 19. It says, "Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre, and say to him, the Lord God says, you seal up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You have been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes was prepared in you in the day that you were created. You are the anointed cherub that covers, and I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created until iniquity was found in you. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You have corrupted your wisdom by reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. I will lay you before kings, that they may behold you. You have defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by the iniquity of your merchandise. Therefore, will I bring forth a fire from the midst of you? It shall devour you, and I will bring you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all those who behold you. All they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and you shall never exist any more." We can plainly see in these scriptures that God is referring to Satan as the king of Tyre. It is Lucifer, that wicked angel, who left his former estate with God in order to lift himself up. Satan was the angel who walked in the midst of the stones of fire in heaven and was lifted up in pride by his own beauty, or in other words, by his own grandeur, by his own abilities. It says in Ezekiel 28:3 that his wisdom was greater than the wisdom of Daniel, and that this wisdom was so great that no one can hide anything from him. When a person thinks that they know it all, pride takes over. Now, because we know that Satan is being described as the king of Tyre, then we also realize that Tyre itself is that spiritual concept of a diabolical work of tempting people of earth with all the delicacies that stimulate flesh rather than spirit. From this point, we need to concentrate on what God is trying to show us by his description of this beneath-the-surface city. Just like the ancient physical city of Tyre, there is a spiritual city of Tyre, which is an abode of Satan. But it's not exactly an abode of Satan as much as it is just a representation of what we are being tempted with and from whom it comes. Satan, as the king of Tyre, rules the spiritual city of Tyre in that all those who come to him can buy and sell, but only may buy and sell the merchandise that Satan traffics in. We know that Satan tempts us with earthly delights, and not everything that Satan offers us is, of itself, wrong for us to have or enjoy. But Scripture tells us that there should be moderation in all things. As Christians, we certainly realize that we can indulge in things that are good for us to the point that they will destroy us. Some of the things, of course, are evil in themselves, and Christians have no problem staying away from them or at least knowing they should stay away from them. But it is those things which I mentioned first, the things that are good if used moderately, but are bad if used indiscriminately, that the Christians have so much trouble with. Take, for example, food. I don't know about you, but I have trouble with food. I know that food, taken in proper proportions, is healthy. In fact, it is an absolute necessity. But you know as well as I do that when we eat improper portions of food, it is not healthy. Just about everything in this world follows this pattern. Generally, a little bit is good, but a lot of it is bad. When we take of the things of this world for our use, we must be careful not to step outside of the boundaries that God has set for us. We need to carefully ensure that the portions of anything that we partake of fall within the scope of God's purpose in meeting the needs of our flesh. If we take of these things in abundance, more than what our physical bodies really need, then we stimulate the flesh too strongly, and the flesh gets overly strong. While this is happening, the heart of man, the spirit nature of man, is put on a diet. The result is that the flesh gets fat and the spirit gets lean. And this is the whole essence of the battle between good and evil. God wants us to be careful in what we choose to partake of in this earth. He wants us to take what we need for the needs of our flesh, but he doesn't want us to take more than we truly need. He wants us to take that which will fulfill our need without weakening our spirit man. Because actually, it is our spirit man which is what it's all about. We were created flesh, but we're not meant to stay as men of flesh, but rather to be born again in spirit. In order for Satan to fight God successfully, he must find ways to make us use our time and energy towards stimulating the flesh and not the spirit. God shows this to us in many ways, one way being this teaching of the city of Tyre and its king, who is actually Satan. Tyre, therefore, becomes the symbolic place where Satan does his ultimate best to sell us more of the world's delicacies than what our physical bodies really need. If you think about this for a moment, you can certainly comprehend that merchants must sell you as much of their goods and wares as possible in order to gain their riches. If this were not true, there would be no such thing as advertisements. Notice, if you will, that human beings are inundated with advertisements in this world. Advertisements can be helpful, but for the most part are used to encourage people to buy when there is really no physical need for the items. Physical needs can make themselves known without the need for being pressured into buying more. A simple advertisement which tells people what is available is acceptable and often needed in order for people to find that which will fulfill their need. But the merchants of Satan, or shall we say, the merchants of Tyre, are sent to the people in order to get the people to concentrate on the merchandise itself, rather than concentrating on obtaining that which will fulfill the current physical need. Symbolically, Satan, in the form of Leviathan, who lives in the sea of destruction, sends out his temptations to the people who live on solid ground. Symbolically, the merchants bring Satan's temptations, or in other words, their trade goods, to the shore, which borders the sea of destruction by way of ships which sail upon this sea. Then the city of Tyre, symbolically speaking, becomes the place of distribution. Tyre, in essence, is Satan's middleman. His merchants are actually anyone who helps him distribute these goods in portions which are improper. This means that your friendly grocer down the street can actually be used by Satan as a merchantman. If your friendly grocer encourages you to buy types of goods which are not healthy for you, or encourages you to buy more than your physical need requires, then he is, at least partially, working for Satan as one of his merchants. Now, Let's not continue to point our finger at our friendly neighborhood grocer, for in many ways we all help Satan to sell his wares. We may not provide improper things or improper portions, but we certainly do go about advertising his goods by telling everyone around us how awesome the things of this world are. Whether we are raving about the taste of pastry, the feel of plush carpet, the smell of incense, the beauty of the automobile, or the sound of exquisitely tuned music, we are giving praise to all that is bought and sold in the marketplace. That's because the flesh part of us is so strong, and it is a continuous natural tendency to praise that which stimulates the flesh. You know that as well as I do. It's not easy to resist Satan's temptations, for to deny the animal nature which so easily rises up within us is contrary to the nature of man. What Satan is trying to do is to make sure that we do not deny the flesh, and therefore he makes everything seem to be irresistible. When you read magazines, newspapers, or watch television, you are a consumer. You are not the seller, you are the buyer. And therefore, you are being inundated daily with sales pitches which encourage you to take whatever you can to stimulate your flesh just a little bit more. Satan's purpose for this is to cause so much stimulation to your flesh that you will be drawn closer and closer to the sea of destruction, which is the embodiment, symbolically, of everything that is opposed to the nature of God. As your flesh is stimulated and the needs of your spirit nature are ignored more and more, you gravitate toward the source for fleshly stimulation. Symbolically speaking, you leave the high, firm ground, that solid ground, where God wants you to stand, and begin to move closer to the sea of destruction into the lower parts of the earth. Soon you become stuck in the muck and mire and end up wallowing in the mud like swine. From there, it takes little imagination to realize that the next step that will take place is that Satan will drag you into the deep waters of destruction. The King James Version calls them the waters of perdition, which means ruin, loss, or destruction. In other words, you drown. Your spirit man is now dead, and you have been given over to the devil. Now, looking back to the Bible, we see the same reference to the merchants of earth in Revelation 18. When Babylon is destroyed, the merchants of the earth mourn, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. This means that God will destroy the animal nature, that part of man which flourishes in flesh and blood, that part of man which will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. When this occurs, there will be no merchandising of the trade goods of earth, for there will be no flesh and blood who will overindulge anymore. Any flesh and blood which remain on the earth will not be tempted, for the tempter will be thrown into the bottomless pit in chains and kept there for 1,000 years. The king of Tyre and the king of Babylon are one in the same. They are both Satan. The reason God uses different and symbolic forms in Scripture is for the purpose of describing the particular part of the overall picture. Tyre, or Babylon, are the forms used symbolically as cities which Satan rules over. Tyre is used to describe Satan's work of tempting with the delights of this world, which stimulate the flesh. Babylon is used to describe Satan's rulership of all those which refuse to worship God in truth and in spirit. And just a note here for you Bible scholars, this is why there are 10 cities which are destroyed in the end times, and Great Babylon is the last of the cities to be destroyed. But what I'd like all of you to concentrate on for a moment is the concept of Satan as the king of Tyre, or in essence, Satan, as the one who rules over the distribution of things of the world, which, either by their improper use or because they are improper of themselves, overstimulate the flesh. Let's go back and take a look at Ezekiel 28, verse 2. This verse is interesting because it refers to Satan as a man. It is God speaking, and he called Satan a man rather than a god. We don't usually think of Satan as a man, but this is what God calls him. We also see this in Isaiah 14, 16. Here, Satan is also referred to as a man. No, he's not a man in the sense of being a human being, but he is a man in the sense that he will be able to die eternal death, the second death, as all wicked men will die, which is to be cast into the lake of fire, or in essence, cast out of the presence of the Lord forever. Isaiah 14, 15 refers to him as being cast down to hell, down to the sides of the pit. Now, once we realize that Satan can be referred to as a man, we can see something interesting in another scripture. In 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 3 and 4, we see the exact equivalent of Ezekiel 28, 2, where the Bible indicates that this man of sin is imitating God by sitting in the temple of God. This portion of Scripture is often misunderstood as being a human being antichrist, but is actually, as verse 3 explains, the son of perdition. As I said before, perdition is a term we don't use very much anymore and means destruction. Satan is the son of perdition. It is the destruction, ruin, or loss from being outside of the will of God, which produced Satan in his present wicked form. Satan shunned the opportunity to be the son of wisdom, the son of God, the son of righteousness, and chose his evil path instead. He is now the mystery of iniquity, the son of perdition. The reason he's the mystery of iniquity is because most people do not discern what is actually at work in them. Specifically, they are unable to recognize that this mystery of iniquity is sitting in the temple. The two main reasons for this are that, one, we don't usually think of Satan as a man. And when 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 calls him a man of sin, our first response is to think of a human being. The second reason is that people usually don't think of themselves as the temple, but generally think of a physical temple. Yet Jesus made it very plain that God does not inhabit temples made with hands, and that we are the temple of God. When we look at this passage of 2 Thessalonians with this in mind, what we have is a passage that tells us that Satan, as that mystery of iniquity, that man of sin, is sitting where he ought not to sit, which is in the holy place, the temple. No, not that he is your God, but that he is occupying a place in God's people, in God's church, much more so than people realize.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Satan can only be present where he is allowed to be. And the way he is allowed to be present is to accept that which he offers to the children of men. We may tell Satan to go away and leave us alone, but when we reach out and take an overabundance of the delicacies he offers by his merchants and allow our flesh to be overstimulated, we are, in essence, allowing him to stay right where he is. The most important thing that you can come to understand in these last days is what to do when you finally recognize this. It tells us exactly what to do in Matthew 24, 15, which tells us to flee to the mountains. But that's a whole different subject, which I will have to present at another time. But for now, please realize that the deception of the mystery of iniquity, that son of perdition, cannot continue to secretly hide in your temple if you develop a pure love for the truth. For it tells us in 2 Thessalonians 2:10 that for lack of this love for the truth, deception comes. If you'll turn away from the excesses which are offered in every form by the merchants of the earth, and begin to seek the Lord with as much fervor as you have previously sought the stimulations of the flesh, the deception will cease, and you will see where Satan has been living. He is there, maybe not in you, but in many people who call themselves Christians, yet spend most of their time and energy seeking that which will make their flesh nature strong and destroy the spirit man within.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. If you would like a copy of today's program, please contact us and ask for message number 23, The King of Tyre. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.